Dirty birds, we set the tone. We fly high to the end zone. We beat them all, then we send them home.
Falcons fans, welcome back to another edition of the FalconCast podcast here on AtlantaFalcons.com. We are coming off a huge 34-0 win over the defending Super Bowl champion New York Giants. And boys, I love saying that. I love saying it. I love writing.
Yeah. 34-0. There's three numbers.
Yeah.
Will always mean something to me now.
Exactly. So that was Daniel Cox. You going to say hello?
Hello.
There you go. Okay.
Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays, all that kind of stuff.
All that stuff.
I celebrate Festivus.
Festivus, yes.
Yeah. So it's almost about time for me to get the pole out of the crawl space,
yes,
and plan the airing of grievances right after the Feats of Strength. Some of my favorite holiday events. So also joining us, AJ Anthony, the intern, who is fresh off another edition of Feed AJ, which, if you haven't seen it, fans, I mean, really, look it up on AtlantaFalcons.com. You can find it. He sampled some excellent wings. I know because I was there.
Yeah.
Those
wings. Oh, man. I don't know why they say I cannot know their special seasoning, but I need to know what's in that chicken. That was just really good.
I think it was love.
Savor the flavor.
Yeah.
That's what I had to do.
See, now you and I have been working on some adjectives, and they were succulent.
Succulent
wings.
Delectable. Up there.
Yep.
Luscious.
Delightful.
I even said
you
luscious.
Did say luscious. You even put a spin move.
I even put a spin move.
I heard there was some controversy, however, that there was another intern who did the spin move at a private event, and you maybe took it from him. Is that
no,
true?
No. See, what happened was.
All right. Well, we're not worried about that. All
okay.
Right. The Falcons are coming off a 34-0 win over the New York Giants, we'll say it again. Super Bowl champion, New York Giants. We like saying that. All right. So, huge win. I mean, just, where do you even start with this one, Dan?
I mean,
it was just, you go from, like, the week before, and then I think this game was, like, the complete opposite. Like, anything that you could have imagined, as bad as you felt after the Carolina game, is as good as you felt after the Giants game. Am I right on that?
Absolutely. You know, and you said it last week, and you've been saying it for a while, that this was kind of the game that would kind of tell the tale, if you will, of not just the season, but kind of where things would go from here. And
I still think that. Even after 34-0, I still think that.
I mean, you're right. Where do you start to discuss this win? And, you know, we'll talk about some of the players that we talked about last week, a little bit later on in the show, about who we felt like would be an impact on the game, and there's almost no wrong answer. It's like it's truly a team win. You got special teams lights out. You know the way they covered David Wilson on returns, Matt Bosher with his kicks or his punts, and you know so many guys on defense, and then so many guys on offense. It was just one of those days where the perfect storm of everything came together.
The big thing for me was what happened along the trenches. You know, I think when you really look at what's the big difference in this game, it's how well the Falcons offensive line kept that extremely talented Giants defensive line out of the backfield for the most part, and how the Falcons were able to create pressure. I think the unsung hero of that game, if you didn't notice him, I'll tell you right now, Vance Walker was up in Eli Manning's face all day. And not only that, but he was blowing up running plays before they really got started. Ray Jerry was another guy who was disrupting some plays in the backfield before they got going. The Falcons were able to create pressure and create disruption along the front of their defensive line, which is something they haven't been able to do a whole lot of this year. And I think that made a huge difference. And you're going to rattle a quarterback when you're able to collapse his pocket a little bit. For me, all right, let's start right there. That was the big thing for me.
Absolutely. Unsung heroes, I mean, Coach Nolan.
Yeah.
The scheme, like what he managed to do. And the players, you know, the coaches coach and they put the scheme together. Players go out and execute it. And we were talking about this at lunch. But, you know, give some credit to Coach Nolan to have the foresight or whatever to kind of put that scheme together. And we've seen this now. You know, both Manning brothers, Drew Brees. I pulled that stat. I was like, 10 of the 18 interceptions the Falcons had this season came off from Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, and Eli Manning. That's some of the best in the business. That speaks volumes to what what Coach Nolan's able to put together to have happen on the field, and then guys like Thomas Dekou, pulling it off, and Asante Samuel. He's been a tone setter all season with his attitude and some of the the things he brings, his intangibles that he brings to the team. But he's changed the game a number of times too. The second play of the game, I believe it was first pass or maybe second pass. I don't recall. Asante, picks off Eli on the Falcons side of the field.
And we'll talk about Asante a little later.
Oh yeah,
in the podcast. Everything that I've heard from the Falcons, after the game and even in talking about that game a little bit this week, is that turnover. The guys on offense point to that turnover.
Absolutely.
And they say, okay, you want to know why we were able to start fast. You want to know why we were able to do what we did. It's because of that interception, that turnover. And it was resounding. I heard it from a bunch of different guys and some guys who know. Yeah. Tony Gonzalez, Matt Ryan both said the same thing.
Michael Turner.
So, you've got guys on the offense who know what they're doing and say that, hey, that was what sparked us. You really can't measure the impact that Asante Samuel has made on this team, like you said, with the intangibles. We all see him on Sunday. Mm-hmm. But we get to see him during practices.
Oh,
we get to see him in the locker room. We get to see the attitude. And we try to let fans know about that, but it's so hard to put into words just how much this guy has meant to this locker room, bringing the secondary together, making the secondary better. And I can only imagine what it's like inside meeting rooms when these guys are watching film and he's in there as well. And I think just the impact that this guy has had on this team this year, I don't think it can be understated. It's just amazing how many guys will point to him and say, we take so many cues from this guy and we look up to him and he's a leader. And it's just amazing.
Yeah. There are great players, and then there are great players who, accomplished really great things as well, and Asante's got a Super Bowl ring, and that holds weight inside any locker room in the NFL, and he's been there and done that, so he's got nothing but respect from every single guy in that locker room. You're right, Jay. There's some of the things you see him do at practice that we can't always talk about, but there's a light-hearted side of Asante that we don't always see. Just as intense as he can make everyone, he can kind of lighten that mood as well.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of one of the interesting things about him.
But I think that's I know we're getting a little off topic here, but I think that's one of those things that is the hallmark of this team. Because I think the last couple of years, we've seen since 2008, the expectations have ratcheted up.
Mm-hmm.
And every year, I've been here since 2010. 2010 was my first season with the team. And even then, you could kind of sense there was a pressure on this team.
Yeah.
Whether it was from the expectations or how quickly everything had kind of turned around or wherever it was, okay, you could sense there was some pressure on this team. And you could sense it last year, too.
Absolutely.
This year, I hear a lot of fans say, especially after we do, after a loss and we do something like D-Block, and people are like, oh, these guys should be this and that and the other. And look, nobody's going to practice 24 hours a day. That's just the reality of the situation, okay? However, I think that lightheartedness with which this team approaches the game and their week and how they prepare, I think it goes so long in ensuring that, we're not going to let pressure get to us. That's not going to affect us. Other teams are going to beat us. They're going to have to bring their A game to do it. But we're going to have fun. And we're going to approach this game like kids, because it's a kid's game.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
But I think that takes some of the pressure off. You're a 12-2 team right now, and the expectations are higher than ever. Higher than ever, we can say that. All right?
Especially after last Sunday.
Especially after last Sunday. But yet, I don't feel like these guys are under as much pressure in their own minds as maybe they have been in the past.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. And that even keel approach to the whole season, you know, it's been a topic, and, you know, we always hear it comes from Coach Smith, but I was just sitting here as we were talking, and I was thinking about, you know, past wins and the past seasons and big wins, and I can't name any right off the top of my head, but, you know, you come in the locker room on Wednesday or Monday, and you can tell those guys just won a big game each, but, like, you can't, there's no discernible difference week to week this season. Do you get, like, the atmosphere and the mood inside that locker room today and yesterday was exactly the same as it was, you know, after Carolina?
I will say that Monday after Carolina was the only discernible difference that I could tell between any, and that was a good difference. And I wrote a little bit about that on my blog last week, is just kind of how, like, what happened on Sunday, what transpired on Sunday against the world champions was part and parcel to that miserable Monday.
Absolutely.
That the Falcons had to go through. And I think that's something that's going to help carry this team a little bit too, is going through that one day and just feeling awful about what they did the day before.
But the flip side, and again, we're so far off.
We are way off our script right now.
That's okay. But the flip side is, you know, the things that they use to get past that game are the same things to get past the Panthers' loss, are the same, you know, mental techniques, if you will, methods, that will help them quickly put behind, you know, a 34-0 beatdown of the world champions. So
yeah,
it kind of works both ways, and that's what's kind of interesting about this team this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Completely agree. Let me go through the playoff scenarios here real quick.
Sure.
As I think, you know, I'm so glad this week. Like, you know, I know we could have clinched last week and everything like that, but man, I hate having to root for another team.
Absolutely.
In order for the Falcons
to stay up to watch the Sunday night game.
Tell me about it. I'm still recovering. Here we are Wednesday.
Yeah, right.
Still recovering from that 12:30 night. I'm an old man. I need to be in bed.
Especially after working the whole day.
Oh, unbelievable. So, all right. So we're in a week where all the Falcons have to do is win.
Win.
Just win.
Win one game and you're in.
That's it. Okay, and they clinch the number one seed in the NFC, which is what they want, home field advantage throughout. There are a couple of other scenarios that we'll go through them real quick. All right, the Falcons could tie Detroit and have San Francisco lose or tie. And who's San Fran got this? We'll look that up while we're – I'll tell a little story about a bridge while
we're
winning.
Who they have? They have the Seahawks this week.
Oh, that's right.
Huge game. Huge game. And if you don't believe in the Seahawks, I don't know.
They look tough right
Whew.
Now.
Okay. So, Atlanta tie plus a San Francisco loss or tie against Seattle. Falcons are in the number one seed. Or, this one doesn't even involve the Falcons. The Falcons could lose to Detroit. We don't want that to happen, but this is a possible scenario. The Falcons could lose. But if San Francisco loses to Seattle and Green Bay loses or ties, he doesn't know. Looking it up.
The Titans?
Yes.
The Titans.
Okay. That's another possible scenario where the Falcons would earn that number one seed. All right. So just to clinch a first round bye.
Unlikely, though.
Yeah. Just to clinch that first round bye. Okay. So guarantee of at least the number two seed would be the Falcons tying the Lions, okay, or San Francisco losing to Seattle, or Green Bay losing or tying the Titans. Those are your scenarios. If you want to see them on paper so you can actually visualize them, go to the blog, blog.atlantafalcons.com, and you can look it up there. I've got them neatly laid out for you, although I'm going to go back and add the opponents in there so I know who's playing. Go ahead.
But really, I mean, you know, Falcons
win.
Just
win.
Falcons win.
Win.
That's all you really need to know.
Right. Exactly. So Saturday night, we could be celebrating another step in the direction that the Falcons want to go. So, big.
Hey, and that's a weekend off in the playoffs. And, you know, I know the players aren't the only ones that appreciate that.
I'm telling you. Okay. All right. Let's get on to our ever-popular buy or sell. We're going to bring AJ back in, who knows all the answers. to our questions here, and he's going to test us out with our first topic. Go ahead, AJ.
All right. Come on, guys. Let's rank these. Last week...
we're not ranking. We're ranking... We're going to rank... We rank Keys to Victory.
Oh, yeah.
We don't rank by yourself.
Yeah. Hey, I saw that picture. That
we're only... Hey, we're only in week 16, AJ. You'll get it one of these days.
Yeah, I get it, man. I'm having slight amnesia. All right. Last week was... Last week was the largest margin of victory under Mike Smith. But the last time they won a big game this season, they lost the following week. A flat-out effort awaits for the Falcons Sunday. Buy or sell that one?
I'm going to sell it. I think that Carolina game was exactly what this team needed to avoid something like that from happening again. Because, you know, they even admit it. They went through that week. They weren't focused. They had just clinched the NFC South, you know, for the second time in 3 years. And, you know, I don't want to say that I'm not going to make excuses because they have owned up to everything that happened in that game. It is what it is, but I think that loss is going to help carry this team through those opportunities where you're going to have a flat, or where there's a chance of coming out flat. And I think anytime you, of course, have a big win, you're a little high off of that. But Coach Smith and his staff do such a great job to make sure these guys don't get too high off of that stuff. That 24-hour rule, we talk about it all the time, and it's almost to the point of cliche, but it's not. It's a real thing. You and
it's
I abide
part of the
by
culture
it.
Of the
you
Bibles.
And I abide by it.
Absolutely.
All right. We're not playing. They're not going to be putting us in anytime soon, but we abide by it.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that, like you said, it's a part of culture. So for me, I sell that all day. I don't think this team can come out flat again. I just don't.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of pundits and, you know, sports talkers and writers or across the country that still believe that the Falcons have, you know, those flat efforts in them, and quite frankly, probably believe maybe last week was a fluke. I don't know. I just don't see how you can beat the Super Bowl champs, 34-0.
I like saying
that. Yeah, I know.
Say it again. Say it again.
Beat the Super Bowl champs, 34-0 and it'd be a fluke, you know. So anyway, I think you're right, Jay. I think that there were some lessons that unfortunately needed to be learned for some of these guys. And you hear it all the time about one of the most difficult things in sports is to maintain a high level. Like you hear about teams that win championships and then, you know, kind of experience that highness of that and try to come back the next season and start all over and do it again. And while the Falcons haven't necessarily won anything yet, I think there's some similar things there. I can't explain why that happened, but it did. And I think you're right, though. And they admitted it and they said it as well. Feels like they learned some lessons there, some lessons they needed to learn. And I think they were humbled in some ways as well. And I don't believe that that'll be repeated. Now, I'm not saying it won't be a tight game or a close game or something like that, but I don't feel like they'll come out and just completely lay an egg.
Exactly. Great point. That's my point of view as well, is that, you know, we saw this team come out really fired up against the Giants. Like, it's an energy thing. It's a mindset, all right, that we're talking about. We're not talking about performance so much as we're talking about just that ready mindset that we are about to go and play a game for 3.5 hours, and we are ready mentally and emotionally to face that challenge. And I think you're absolutely right. Look, it may be a close game. We don't know. There are talented players on this team on both sides of the ball. So I don't think you can look at the record, but completely agree. Completely agree with you. All right. AJ, hit us with our second one.
All right. The second one, Corey Beerman is the most underrated player on the Falcons defense. I sell that one.
He's close if he's not the most underrated.
Yeah, I mean, if he's
no, go for it.
In some ways, if he's
let's
not,
let's talk this out.
Is, if he's not, who is?
Yeah, I could say Robert McClain.
Yeah,
would be a guy.
Vance
I could
Walker
see
could
Vance
one.
Walker. I could see even Jonathan Babineau, being kind of an unsung hero.
Steven Nicholas.
I mean, this defense is filled with underrated players, especially, you know, nationally. look, we're around these guys all the time. Yeah. So, you know, the name Stephen Nicholas or Robert McLean, you know, they're in our consciousness.
Yeah.
You know, even fans, hardcore fans, are going to know who these guys are. But outside of Atlanta, you may not know who Robert McLean is, what his story is, what he had to go up against, or Croy Bierman, what he had to go up against. You know, when I think of Croy Bierman and I see him play, I always think back to right when he was drafted. And the one word that always sticks out to me, or what's the term that sticks out to me in hearing experts, and even Thomas Dimitroff has used this phrase in describing him, it's high motor.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you see it every time that he's on it. I mean, it is so amazing. He's not always going to have that effect in his own stat line, but I guarantee you that there are a few passes out there and a few runs out there that have been disrupted by just how he approaches the football game.
Yeah, all effort.
Absolutely. All effort. It is absolutely amazing to watch this guy play. I think if I was a parent and I was taking my son to a Falcons game or I was watching on TV, I'd say you need to watch 71. Because that's how you play a football game.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and he's the kind of guy that, you know, you want your son to play like that, you know?
Because yep.
Croy, like you said, Jay, there's stuff that we don't all, like stats, you know, when a run gains 2 yards and you know, someone gets credited for a tackle, that's not a great gain though, you know, and there's so much stuff that happened in that play, you know, that Corey Bierman tackle for 2+2 yards that we don't necessarily know. But he does so many different things. You know, and we've heard Coach Smith talk about it, you know, dropping back into covers, doing a lot of different things, almost playing like a dual, like linebacker, you know.
He does everything.
I feel like just as, you know, every guy on defense has a role and is important. John Abraham's super important for rushing the passer. Let's be honest there. But I feel like a guy like William Moore and a guy like Corey Bierman are really key, like really important to Coach Nolan's defense. So, you know, we're still on buy or sell. So I can say I'm going to buy that statement. I'm pretty comfortable saying Corey Bierman's the most underrated player.
Yeah, I would feel comfortable with that. With that assessment too. I think there are a couple other guys out there that are certainly in the running for it. If we're actually going to give a title to a guy, but I mean, and this is a guy that play, how many snaps a game does he play? I could look it up, but I mean, he's so important on special teams. Cause we're talking about just defense in this topic, but special teams. I mean, what was it last year where, you know, Falcons were having some trouble covering some kicks, covering some punts.
Oh yeah, that's right.
They make the switch over. They say, you know, Keith Armstrong gets Croy Bierman.
Because he had
saw
his
immediately.
Snaps on defense had gone up. And
yeah, saw immediately that problem had fixed itself.
Yep.
It's amazing the impact that this guy has on the field, and I really hope, you know, Pro Bowl voting just ended
Monday.
Sorry, boy, this week is crazy. but Pro Bowl voting just ended. Corey Bierman was on the ballot as a special teamer. Man, I would love to see him make it because I think he deserves it.
Absolutely.
I hadn't seen, you know, too many of the other guys who were on the ballot, so I really can't say. Just from my perspective, I think he's put forth the effort, and he's really shown on special teams that he's a valuable asset. So, you know, I could talk all day about how great I think he is, because I really, really think that he is an unsung hero on this defense. There's so much that he can do. So, yeah, we'll go ahead and buy that. We'll both buy that. All right, last topic here and buy ourselves.
All right, Saturday's game is the kind of game that teams like Detroit, you know, that they get up, for.
Yeah. Thanks for getting that out.
Yeah, I got a little tongue tied.
Yeah, you did. That's all right.
The reason because I'm looking at that calendar model. Took my breath away.
All right, I have an Atlanta Falcons cheerleader swimsuit calendar hanging
great
up.
Great Christmas gift.
Hanging up, exactly. You can get it on officialfalconsgear.com. AJ was a little mesmerized. Sorry. Okay, so Saturday's game is the kind of game that a team like Detroit gets up for. I would say, I'd buy that. They're playing for pride now. You know, they're 4-10.
4-10. They lost 6 straight games.
Lost 6 straight games.
That's not what anyone thought was going to happen with the Detroit Lions this year.
No, not at all. And this is a very talented team. This is a really, really talented team. And I know that you know, they just put Nick Fairley on IR. They've had some injuries. You know, but this is a team that I think is you know, aside from the record, I think it's a playoff caliber type team. You know, and we said, we were talking about the Giants game being one you circled and said, okay, you're going to measure yourself against this team.
Yeah.
Following up, I remember looking at the schedule back then and being like, following that up with Detroit is going to be tough.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough. And you're playing in their place. I still expect their fans to be behind them. I still expect it to be a loud environment. You know, the thing about the Falcons is that they've got a bullseye on them. I mean, there's only two teams that have been able to get the better of them. Both of those teams within the division. And, you know, like you said, the Lions have lost six. What better way than to beat the 12-2 Falcons to try and gain some momentum going into next season? So, and on what is essentially Monday Night Football.
This is true.
You know, it's a primetime matchup. So, yeah, I think anybody who thinks that Detroit's just gonna lie down is crazy. This team's gonna come to play.
Yeah, I buy the statement too. You're right. It's funny. It is Monday Night Football, just because Monday Night falling on Christmas Eve this year. The league's moving it to Saturday night just in observance, which, you know, I think most of us appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's an element that teams get up for just in general. But you're right. Losing six straight, I mean, this is not where they thought they were going to be this year. And certainly they've had injuries and all that stuff, but they still got guys. There's still a lot of key elements from last year's team that are still on this year's team, you know, a 4-10 team. So, you know, and they're playing, like you said, they're playing for momentum for next year. They're playing for pride. They're playing for jobs. You know, sometimes guys just have to kind of find something to get amped up about the game. And playing the 12-2 Falcons, a team that's, you know, headed to the playoffs and a team that everyone thinks the best in the league or one of the best, what a great statement to make of your own, you know.
Absolutely.
Not so fast, the NFL.
Yeah.
So...
And it's having any given Sunday. I know that's a cliche.
Yeah.
We'll throw that in there. One of these days, we're going to have a podcast where we're going to see how many cliches we
all
can throw
cliches.
Out there. One game at a time, Daniel.
Yes.
One podcast at a time.
Lord willing.
Lord willing. Yes. One podcast at a time.
One podcast at a time. So I buy that statement. I'm confident the Detroit Lions are coming to play. And you know who I know is coming to play is Calvin Johnson.
Sure. He wants that record. He wants
There's
that
a
record.
Couple of records he's kind of got in.
No kidding. All right, so let's get on to our Twitter keys to victory. We solicited your comments again in a very, very unorganized and intrusive way on Twitter, and I think you actually tried to con Coy Wire into giving you a key, didn't you?
I did. It worked.
It worked.
We
sent
one.
You
know, we can use
that.
We didn't
put
here,
it in it. Sorry, Coy, you didn't make the cut.
Oh, we missed the deadline there.
Sorry, former NFL linebacker, you didn't make the cut. But AJ's going to read off our Twitter keys to victory, and he's going to use the Twitter names of those who submitted it that we thought were going to be the top three keys to winning Sunday or Saturday, and we're Daniel and I are going to rank them with great abandon. I don't even know if it makes sense. I'm just at this point.
We're just gonna roll with it.
All right, let's roll.
All right, the first one comes from Soli 31. Protect Matt Ryan from Angry Sue, aka another great performance from the O line. The second one, Kip Yates, stop Calvin Johnson. And the third one, Falcons FB ref, pressure up front to have Stafford hurry and throw more bad passes. Bierman and Abraham are key.
Man, we have set ourselves up again. I think the second week in a row where we've got like 1A, 1B, 1C. This is going to be tough. Tough to rank these.
Yeah. I have some thoughts.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to let you go first with number three. And then I'll go. And then you go, and then I'll go.
All right.
All good?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
My number three, I'm going to say, is stop Calvin Johnson. Okay. I'm just of the belief that this is not basketball. In basketball, an individual, a single player can beat you and can basically lead a team to victory. And unless it's the quarterback, I don't believe that can happen too much in the NFL. Calvin Johnson, certainly one of the most talented players, not just wide receiver in the league, and he can make an impact on the game, but I just don't believe that, you know, just a giant game Giant Game from
Giant Game. I see what you did there.
From Calvin Johnson is going to just propel the Lions to victory. So I'm going to say that's my third one. Certainly, Calvin Johnson, I think we all know, is going to get some yards, maybe a touchdown. It's just what he does. But I don't think that stopping Calvin Johnson is the ultimate key to a Falcons win.
Yeah, I agree with you on this one. I'm going to go number three, stopping Calvin Johnson. You have to stop Calvin Johnson. Make no mistake about it. You have to stop him. He is so, so talented. And he can disrupt a game, and he can do those things where he's going to put you in tough positions, both defensively and offensively. But I think there are these two other keys to the game kind of supersede that one. So I'm gonna say stop Calvin Johnson number three. All right, so number two, I'll do number two, and then okay. So I can talk a little bit.
All right,
because I have an ego that needs to be stroked, and yes. I need to be talking a little bit.
Why don't you do that?
Totally kidding. All right, so for me, I'm going to go number two with pressure up front to have Stafford hurry and throw more bad passes, Bierman and Abraham are keys. I think this is definitely important, and we already mentioned in the show how important it is for the defensive line to be able to create pressure without bringing too many blitzes and to get that pressure from the front four. But I think this is going to be second only to the last one that we've got remaining here, but certainly important. I think Bierman and Abraham are keys, and I think if we can get Vance Walker to get in Stafford's face a little bit again, I think that could go a long way too. Because you really talk about when you think about the pocket. All right, when you get that pressure from the middle,
yeah,
you can't step up. All right, when you get it from the defensive ends and they're coming around the sides. As a quarterback, you can step up in the pocket. You can create room for yourself. But when
there's a pocket, that's where the word comes from.
Exactly. And so when you get it from in front of you, you've got nowhere to step up. The only place you can go is backwards. And you want a quarterback going backwards. So if Vance Walker can, or any of the defensive tackles for that matter, can continue to do that, I think that would be huge.
Absolutely. You know what?
Are we going to agree this whole way? That's okay.
Yeah. My number two is pressure up front. Sorry, I was thinking about two things at once.
Well, don't do
that.
That's
tough to do,
right? Smell the smoke. I was wondering what was going on in here.
The same as last week. And pressure, like you said, can come from so many different ways. Come from the edges with Abraham and Bierman, who I think are keys for sure. But I think you're right. I think those guys in the middle, when they can get that pressure, collapsing the pocket from the middle, I think that's really the key. And we see it from all over the league. Some of those defensive tackles, kind of like you see what the Houston Texans are able to do with a guy like J.J. Watt. And like we've seen the evolution of the safety position in the last couple of years with guys like Ed Reed, some of those guys. I think we're starting to see an evolution of a defensive tackle position now. And those guys are getting better at rushing the passer, and they can truly cause chaos when they're coming up the middle as opposed to the edge. Matt Stafford can throw the ball a long way down the field.
Sure can.
One toss, and that's all, right?
That's
so if he's got time to do that, he's proven that he can launch it, and they can put some points on the board quickly. Falcons don't want to get into a game like that, I don't think. So,
yeah.
So pressuring Stafford and kind of slowing that offense and kind of making it a little bit challenging for them is definitely a key. And I'd say that's my number two.
Okay. Well, give us your number one then.
Give us our number one. Protect Matt Ryan from Angry Sue, a.k.a. another great performance from the O-line. Here's my bottom line. I think the offensive line maybe played their best game collectively last week.
Agree.
Against the Super Bowl champ New York Giants.
I agree.
And we saw what happened when that happened.
Yep. That's exactly the point I was going to make, too. I don't think you need to say much more than that. You saw exactly what happens.
Yeah.
And when Matt Ryan has time, this offense can do anything.
And it's not just passing the ball either.
You're absolutely right. It's also with Michael Turner and creating some lanes for him and Jaquizz. And, you see that. That game is the perfect example of that. So, totally in agreement with you there.
Yeah.
All right. So, we got our three keys. So now we move on to impact player of the game. And you know what, fellas? I think this is the first week where all three of us did
okay.
Yeah,
we deserve a round of applause
from
everybody. We'll start with ourselves.
Yeah, well, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, but like I said earlier, you almost couldn't go wrong in picking
you
guys.
You're absolutely
but everybody,
right.
Everybody did such a nice job. And the guys we picked out, hey, did a nice job, too.
You're absolutely right. You know, I completely agree with you.
So AJ,
why don't you go ahead and take us through who the picks were from last week?
All right. Jay, you started out pretty strong. No.
I was strong the entire game. His presence alone.
Yeah.
You can't read him from just his stat line. His stat line was impressive. Who?
He had picks. He had 22.
That's right. I had deuce.
Yeah, deuce.
Dabba deuce came through for me. I think Eli did not want to throw to his side. I don't think he saw him on that first interception. Because he never would have thrown that ball.
Yeah. Asante's got, what, 4 interceptions?
4.
Yeah, against Eli. 40,
yeah, but 48 career picks now.
Like fourth active.
Yes, it's ridiculous. So I was right there. What I say? I said, this is going to be the game for him. He's played him before.
Yep. Yeah, you're right, man. You're right. Okay.
You know. All right.
Daniel, you had John A., you know, 2 tackles, 1 forced fumble.
Yeah, that was another good pick.
That was another solid pick. Anything to say about that?
Yeah, I mean, that was a great forced fumble. I mean, it was like, I remember he was talking about it, and it didn't come in I feel like I should concede to you a little bit, you know, Jay.
I think you should too, honestly.
It didn't come in a point where it was like so critical, but it was still a great play. It was another forced, you know, another turnover to get the ball back into the offensive hands. But what I think so great about that play was he said, and he talked about it after the game, he said, you know, I had the tackle. I could have made the tackle. He's like, I felt like I had a chance to knock it free, and he just kind of did like the Donkey Kong, like, hammer swing thing.
Yeah.
And he got it out.
Yeah, it was like a super punch or something like that. Yeah. And then, AJ, who'd you have?
I had one.
Finally,
I rebounded quick. I had one of the greatest guys from Wake Forest University.
All right.
Tyson Klabo. Yes. About time somebody from Wake Forest stepped up. That's good.
Unbelievable.
The Wake Forest guys?
Syracuse.
Syracuse.
All right, so let's get into our player of the week for this week. I think it's going to be tough. Who's going first?
Yeah, I don't want to go first.
Man, you guys, wow.
Make it take it, Jay. You
make
want,
it take it. Okay.
I'm saying you all won, right. So Asante,
all right.
You can't pick Asante Samuel again. You said his name like 4 times this season.
Not 4. Maybe like I had him like 1 other time.
I think at least twice.
All right, well, maybe twice. All right, I just got to think for a minute. I think there's a couple of different directions I want to go.
I think sometimes we get into this segment and we're so hyped about what we
did
last week.
Yeah, we don't even think about
it. Completely forgotten to think about who we're going to take this.
So it's a shot in the dark. Yeah. So the next week we're like so astonished at what we, at how correct we were. But, I'm trying to think of the matchups. And I think, you know, you could have, what, you got something to say?
Yeah. The reason why I'm kind of confused is, okay, on the offensive side of the ball, yes, they do have Calvin Johnson. And, you know, Titus Young, he did not step up like everybody thought he was going to.
Mm-hmm.
So I was leaning toward that. But then I also thought about, you know, the little guy that they have in the backfield, Michael Short, too. So
yeah.
It's a toughie, but I think I'm going to step out there. And
oh, you're going to go first. All right, let's see.
You also got to remember they do have Sue. Nick Fairley is out, so that gives potential to the offensive line. But you know what? I'm gonna jump out and say Thomas Dekou.
Yes, you stole it from both of us.
I'm gonna go ahead and say it. I'm leaning toward that.
Wow.
Yes.
The intern.
First of all, that was a good explanation because
great.
As you began to explain, I'm like, who am I gonna?
See, I was thinking about 28? That. I was going to until I conceded to him. Wow, that's amazing. I saw it on your face, who you had it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so Dekou for all three of us. A round of Dekou for me and my friends. All right. Well, Boy, I'm totally thrown off now. I'm gonna go.
I got one for you.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm just gonna say it because this is what I want to happen. I want Tony Gonzalez to reach 1,000 yards this season. Mm-hmm. He will be in rare. He and the Falcons, Julio Jones and Roddy White, will be in rare company. We'll have a little bit more on that on the website a little bit later on, but all three of them will have achieved 1,000 yards. He needs roughly 120 some yards to get there. That might not happen on Sunday, but I think
Saturday.
Yes, Saturday. Jeez. Yeah. But I think the Lions are going to do what they can to take away Roddy and Julio, as everyone else has attempted to. I'm going to go with the guy that makes third down catch after third down catch. So that's my pick.
All right. I'm with you. All right. So I'm torn between two right now. But I am going to go ahead and I'm going to say, Julio Jones. Okay. I'm going to say Julio
We're
Jones.
We're at odds.
Do what?
We're a little bit at odds on this one.
Yeah, I know. I just really think, you know, nobody really knows what Roddy's situation is going to be yet. You know, we saw last week Roddy got some looks and he caught some passes and he was huge in the offense. But you just saw that little extra with a healthy Julio. So for me, I think it's going to be Julio. I think Julio could put up another big game. And he does very well on the road.
This is true.
We've seen how well he's done on the road. So Julio's going to be my pick. All right. So we got Deku. We got Tony Gonzalez.
Yes.
Julio Jones. We'll see how that all pans out next week.
All
right. Well, will we be back before the holidays? I don't think we will. No, this is the last one before
the holidays.
Yeah.
Our next podcast will be post Christmas, and we'll probably be wearing new clothes and
all the new socks that our mothers got us.
Yes. Sweater.
Yes. So, those of us here on the podcast are going to wish you and yours a very happy holiday season. We hope you enjoy it. And thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week on the FalconCast podcast. AJ's going to lead us out with a song.
Oh, I can. Y'all want me to, what y'all want me to sing? I sing.
Okay.
Y'all going to help me sing it?
I don't care.
Rudolph? Y'all going to help me sing it?
Go ahead. Sing it.
It has to be collective.
No. It's not going to be collective. You need to sing it.
Sing it.
Come on, man. Really? Y'all know the song. Rudolph the Red Nose. Come on. I see your lips going.
Nope.
Reindeer.
Yep.
Had a very shiny nose. Come on. Finish it. And
if you had ever seen him.
Had ever seen him. Come on, Daniel. You would even say it glows. You have a child.
Like a light bulb.
Yeah. Come on, Daniel.
All of the other reindeer.
Come on, Daniel.
Used to laugh and call his name.
Like Pinocchio.
They never let poor Rudolph
join in any reindeer games.
Like Monopoly.
Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say,
ho, ho, ho,
Rudolph, wish you
all right.
Oh, well.
It's almost over.
Yeah.
I owe it fun, you guys.
All right.
And ladies, if Falcon ladies, if you have a spare mistletoe out there, save me a kiss. See you next week.